All right, ladies and gentlemen, we need to get started. Patty and I are worried we have too much material.
No, Walt is worried we have too much material.
And I tend to waste time. But anyhow, for those of you who just arrived, my name is Walt Wiley. This is Patty. Patty and I live in Charlotte, North Carolina. We've been married in May. It was 51 years. And we want to talk about words. I told you, if you're just getting here, we have never shared this information before, put it together, got kind of excited about it. We're happy to share it with you. I'm going to ask Patty if she would begin by asking God to bless our time together.
Father, we are grateful for your presence here and in our lives. And Lord, we would ask that you will meet us and challenge each of us in this next 45 minutes. May we get something directly from you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We have no handouts. We have no PowerPoint. We're just going to talk off of our notes here. We're talking about words. Words. The definition of a word, usually I speak on some kind of title. I always say, what does a word mean? It's kind of, it would be a hard word to define. How do you define word? What's a word? It says it's a spoken sound that has a message. I think that's pretty cute. You're like, It's a sound that has a message. It's something that is said. Oh, that's good. It's the use of which we commute. It's the use of which we communicate with others. How do we communicate with others? We use words. Talking about preschool.
Oh, yes, because at preschool, I work in a preschool setting, and many, many times I'm in a classroom where a teacher will say, use your words, you know, rather than your actions. So words are extremely important, even when you're small. In fact, let me just say this. We talked with our youngest granddaughter. She's 16 months old. And her big thing, which we heard just a few days ago, was bye-bye. Because we were just talking on the phone.
She's nine.
It was like, no, I said she.
Wiley, they're a little slow. We haven't got time for grandmother stories. Hey, Joe, I didn't know Joe was here. Hey, good to see you, Joe. Is Betty here?
No, she's coming.
Oh, she's coming. Okay, good. Long line at the ladies' room.
Okay.
These statistics really jump all over the place. It said women average approximately 20,000 words a day. Men average approximately 7,000 words a day. A man told his wife that one time, and she says, well, that's because women have to repeat everything they say. And you know what the man said? What? Hey, Frank, is there anything, I guess there's no situation, help these people sit down? You in charge of chairs?
We pay extra price for chairs.
Betty's sitting here. Some people, after hearing our introduction, might want to leave. Hey, Dan, where are you going? Was it that bad? Oh, Dan's going to sit on the floor. Yeah. Okay.
Use words all the time. I mean, you think about, just since we've come into this room, the conversations that you've had with the person next to you, or the number of words we've heard last night and this morning. Sometimes I get overwhelmed with words because I live with a word master, you know. But words, and then there are words that are really encouraging words. There are words that bring back fond memories. I can think of certain things that someone has said to me that really build me up, like he was mentioning last hour. And then there are words that really, really can kind of knock me down, that I have sad memories of something that someone has said to me. So words can encourage us, and words can also, in the memory of them, kind of pull us down. Perhaps you have heard that the sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. How true is that? No. I don't think it's true at all. No, words are very much a part of who we are.
We got to take a break here. Joe, would you and Betty please stand up, please, and face the audience? Joe and Betty have been married for approximately 1 month. What is it?
Six weeks.
Six weeks.
They were
give them a hand.
They were, yeah. They were at the conference last year, anticipating being married, and now, yay!
Betty, lots of luck. It's almost time to close in prayer. All of us have at one, especially those of us who are verbal, have at one time or another, we know this real well, said something and thought, I should never have said that. I could give you 25 illustrations from my own life of wanting to reach out and grab the word and pull it back. And it's really unfortunate. What was I thinking when I say, or did I really say that? I can't believe that. Or Patty would point out, well, do you realize what you said? Yeah, what was wrong with that? And then she explains it. Oh, I never, you know, like say, hey, when's your baby due? Oh, it's 3 months old. I've been in that criticism. That's happened to me, to Joji Faruja. But now listen, who said the word is important, isn't it? Yeah. And when they said the word was important. Yeah. And how, it was how you said it that caused the problem in that relationship. So words are really, really, really important. Hey, thanks a lot, guys, for sharing.
And there are different kinds of words. We have put them into some categories. And the first one we want to mention is there are wasted words. Words that we just kind of sometimes say when it's quiet. Walt struggles with just being quiet, whether we're at home or whether we're in the car. I mean, there always has to be a sound coming. And so, but I think so often, they're just like wasted. It's okay to really be quiet and just drive and enjoy the scenery, you know, that kind of thing. I also think that there are words that are wasted. I work on a church staff at our home church, and it's inevitable. I mean, you walk down the hall, and someone will say, "How are you?" And you don't even get to say, because they're on such a clip to go by you. They don't care a bit. Those are just words to fill in space when they saw someone. So to me, that's just a wasted word. Sometimes I want to grab them and say, "Do you really want to know? Let me tell you. I have a story here." But words that can be so wasted. Some of those words are, "How's it going?" Kind of wasted. It's not wrong if you really want to stop and listen. But how's it going? Good to see you. Hopefully that's a sincere phrase, but I don't know all the time. Give me a call sometime. How many times have you uttered that phrase? Give me a call sometime. And it never, ever happens. How have you been? See you around. Nice seeing you. Words that don't need a response. They really don't need a response, but it might be great to have one. And we are calling those the wasted words.
There are wrong words. They're not necessarily bad words. It's just that when they were put together, it didn't come out too well. They were used perhaps at the wrong time. All of us in the room have been affected by those kind of words. And you know individuals where you could say, I'll never forget what they said. Some of you have carried that for a long time. Some of you are still carrying it now. You can't get rid of it. Do you know so-and-so? Yeah. What's wrong? You know what they said to me one time? They're words that tear down. They were the wrong words. You'll never, you'll always, those kind of words. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. That was the wrong word. You stirred things up by that word. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Just think about that. You know, James talks about in chapter 3, how tiny your tongue is, and yet the tremendous damage it could do, because words were used at the wrong time. Remember, the analogy is, it's like a little the big ship, and a little rudder controls that entire ship. Proverbs 13:3, he who guards his mouth preserves his life, but he who opens wide his lips shall have destruction. Michel de Montaigne said, silence along with modesty is a great aid to conversation. Yeah. And sometimes it's just better to be quiet, because unfortunately there are words we can use, and we have used, and we've been the victim of what were at that time, that was not the right thing to say.
And then Mark Twain said, the difference between the right word and the almost right word is the difference between lightning and the lightning bug. And I think that is so true. So we've mentioned quickly wasted words and wrong words, but then there are also wise words, wise words. The word itself may not be such a great, specially wise word, but it's just used in the right place at the right time. Those words that can reach out, the words that can build up and cheer up and create a smile on someone's face. I love it when I'm going through a Target or the grocery store line, and that clerk back there just looks like, if I have to put one more thing across the scanner, I'm like, and so you just sort of smile at them and say, I love the way you are, you're just so quick. I got in your line because you're so quick. And they sort of light up. So we do have words that are wise words that can really be very encouraging. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression, but a good word makes it glad. And Proverbs 15:23, a man has joy by the answer of his mouth, and a spoken word in due season, how good it is. And 16:24 in Proverbs, pleasant words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the bones. And then there's this little thought about the words, a slip of the foot may soon be recovered, but that of the tongue perhaps never. And so we just need to be so aware of what we're saying. The tongue is in a wet place, and it slips easily. Be very, very careful with your words.
Now, our theme today is relationships and words. What is a relationship? If you look in the dictionary, a relationship is an emotional connection between two people. It's an emotional connection between two people. Think about, Patty and I were thinking about relationships. We have a relationship. We've had one for a long time. I've known Patty for probably 54 years. We met in college in Kentucky a few years ago. And we've had a relationship for a long time. And words have been a big part of our relationship. And words can have a tremendous reaction and can have a tremendous impact on relationships. And like I said before, in our relationship, I've said things to Patty over the years. I'd be embarrassed to tell you what I said.
Do you remember the one where you said, you're just like your mother?
I never said that.
He did. He did it, and he did it at an FCCI conference.
Everybody, all the ladies booed.
And I mentioned it when we went to share that morning. I thought, man, I got to let you know where I really am this morning. You know, we can all walk into a room and look good, and whatever's going on inside is affecting our whole life. Well, that one, anyway, I remember that.
Yeah, thank you.
That was a while back.
That was not in the notes either, if I remember.
No. It just came to mind.
The only time any group of people booed me. You know, just think about this. Patty has said certain things to me that have really built me up. I said, all right. And unfortunately, together, we've also said things that depressed us. And Patty and I are trying to build something here. It's a relationship. And that's an emotional connection between the two of us. And words play a very, very large part in that. Patty and I came up with this analogy. Think of a relationship like your relationship to a new car. Lots of people, especially men, they do have a relationship with their car. I was studying this, looking for stories, and there's a man in England who every morning got up, went outside, and kissed his car. I don't know anything about cars, but I know, especially men are really into cars. Patty and I don't even know what kind of car we drive. We know by colors.
We have
what
a
kind
black
of car,
car
do you have? I have a black one. What kind do you have? And now listen, cars are really, really, you have a car and they really come in handy. We need them. And so you have a relationship, and you need to take care of this car. Why? It's going to serve you. I remember when I got my first car, I bought it from a man in my church. And I remember my dad saying to me after having a car a while, Walt, have you checked the oil? I said, you need to do that? Well, yeah, you need to take care of this. You want this thing to get you around, yeah, and you want to have a relationship with this thing. You need to take care of that, and you need to take care of your car, and your relationship with your car has a better chance of being positive, as long as you are conscious what the car needs from you. Let me say that again. That was good. I read it right off my notes. Patty wrote it, and I just read it. No. Your relationship with your car, think about this, has a better opportunity or chance of being a positive thing, but you need to take care of your car. What does the car need from you in order for you to be able to go out there in the garage or in the carport or hop in, and it's ready to serve you? You say, praise God for my car. The engine started, and I really like my car. You have a relationship with your car. Patty and I wanted to make that analogy between that and your spouse or someone with whom you're having a relationship. Your friend.
Your children, yeah. You know.
In order to keep that harmonious, there are certain things you need to do. Patty and I have come up with two things, and we want to share those with you. They're obvious.
The first one is maintenance. There has to be maintenance. And maintenance defined is to cause, to continue, to keep up, to preserve, or to keep in good order. If I want my relationship with my neighbor or my husband or our sons or our granddaughters or our daughters-in-law, I've got to maintain it. I can't just think it's going to take care of itself. So I really, really have to work at keeping it maintained. In a car, you know, if we just got the car and drove it and never, ever had anybody look at it to make sure, you know, get the oil changed, put the fuel in the tank, you know, it's not going to run if we don't give it the proper fuel, the proper amount of fuel at the proper times. Regular visits to people who know what they are doing is really, really important, because like Walt told you, we don't know anything about cars. And so
I had a Volkswagen for 5 years, couldn't find the engine. All the time it was in the trunk and I didn't know it.
So when you want to maintain...
I'm just illustrating that I don't know anything about cars.
Yes. So when you want to maintain...
I thought it was
your...
a good illustration.
When you want to maintain your car, you have to be able to be aware that it needs attention. And that same thing is true in our relationships. Words can assist in maintaining our relationships. And selective words should be sincere. You know, it's one thing to, when you're, I think about working with children too, and I have them in my office at preschool, and they're three, and I, you know, and they've hit or pinched or done something to their friend. And I'll say, now we're going to talk about this, and how do you think your friend felt, and all that kind of stuff. We're going to go back to the room, and I need you to tell your friend you're sorry. Well, yeah. So they go back to the room. I'm sorry. Well, there was nothing coming from their side. All they were doing was pleasing me by what they said. So our words to one another, whether they're spouse, neighbor, friend, our own children, have to be from sincere background and situation. Or we can all say things that we really don't mean.
So on the 30th of May, 1964, Patty and I entered into a marriage relationship. The man who drove the van who brought us here, we had time, Sally was there, we had time to chat with him, got to know him. He was a Christian. He and his wife were married the exact same day Patty and I were married. Now on that day, I had a relationship with Patty before that, as a friend and then a girlfriend and then a fiance, but she became my wife on that day. And we began a road like Joe and Betty have just begun 6 weeks ago. And we need to be working on maintaining this thing if we want it to be all that we hope it could be, just like your car. You want to forget your car. Do you have your oil changed? No, not in the last 2 years. No. Regular maintenance is extremely important. Take it down there, let them change the oil, rotate the tire, whatever the case might be. Well, the same thing with relationships. Well, what we're talking about is, what are some words we can use that assist in maintaining a positive relationship? Because we're talking about two ways to assist this relationship. In this case, the analogy I'm using is marriage, but like Patty has already said, it could be any kind of a relationship. So there are certain words you can use that will maintain. Now, here's where you folks are going to be charged double, because Patty and I advertise 10 words. We want to give you 20. Yeah. Is this a bargain or what? I said, Gary, you had that look that said, it depends on what they are. So what Patty and I want to do is, one part of the relationship is maintaining it. There's no problem. Everything's fine. But hey, guess what? Don't take it for granted. Don't take your car for granted. My dad said, you sure you got to change your oil? You didn't know that? No. Oh, I didn't know that. If you want their car to serve you. So Pat, what Patty and I want to do is share, and by the way, these are not 10. If you listen to the four different categories, the number of words turned out to be 10. What are some things you should be hearing around the vicinity of your relationship? What words should be heard that's going to help? How's your relationship with Patty? It's pretty good right now. There's been times it hasn't been good. Well, good. Well, what are you saying to maintain that? Oh, I don't know. Well, Patty and I want to make a couple of suggestions. Here's one. This is three of the 10. You are special. When's the last time you said that? Well, like maybe to your spouse. An approach to it, obviously, depending upon the person, it would be appropriately stated. We need to be built up. We need to know, oh, they really think I'm special. How do they know? How do they know you're special? You told them. Three words. How long does that take? It's amazing how few words can be uttered that make a world of difference. Men, if you just, out of a sincere heart, told your wife more frequently, you know something? You're really a special person. You are special. It'll do an awful lot to maintaining that relationship that you began, and for some of you, perhaps many years ago. The other person needs to hear that from a person they think is special. It's not just what was said. He said it. She said it. I think they're special. Wow, they think I'm special. And I say this especially to men, and I need to be saying it to myself. It always amazes me how little we have to do in a husband-wife relationship that make that other person feel special. It doesn't necessarily cost thousands of dollars. It doesn't take necessarily an awful lot of time. It just was a couple words. And wow, that carried you through for a long period of time. When's the last time you said to that person in your life who is special, sincerely, you are special? So often we think, well, they know that. They know that. Well, you remember the old joke, you never say you love me. Well, I told you one time, and if it changes, I'll let you know. Remember that thing? Or Patty said she was always going to put on a sign, and I would just point to it. So 10 words to do what? Well, in a relationship, like in a car, one thing you need to do is to maintain things. Keep it. Hey, it's good. Keep it going. Well, watch your words, and three of them are, you are special.
And this is, he hadn't gotten to prepping for what we were going to share with you all early last week, but we are early risers, 6 days a week, and we get up at 4:30 and we go to the gym. We just do it. It's part of what we choose to do. But anyway, and we go in separate cars because I don't stay as long as he does because he doesn't have to be work at a special time.
Certainly shouldn't be a surprise to you that we're going to the gym. I saw people. No, it was more like this. What do they do over there?
Anyway, well, we're still moving. And so at our age, I feel like that's a really good thing. I go just so I can keep moving. But anyway, we go in separate cars.
I just realized where you're going with us.
And I got out of the car, and he was parking. He parked on the other side of the parking lot. And he told me this after we got home. And he said to me, and I'm not going to tell you what he said, but it was really sweet. And it's one of those things that it was sort of like surprised me, which was awesome. I love to be surprised with words, kind words, sweet words, and special words. But at the same time, my immediate reaction was not like real positive. Like, I don't even remember exactly what I said, but I knew I shouldn't have said it after
Patty
it came out of my mouth.
Patty can't take a
compliment. It just was like embarrassing to me. But even
I'll
after
say,
all
Patty, you look so cute. She said, well, I'm glad God's dimming your eyes. Why don't you just say thank you?
But anyway, I have lived on the phrase that he said to me, several phrases, several sentences, and it plays back every, I mean, in this last week, I just, when if I go, I'm going through something like, oh, golly, I got to handle that. You know what? Then that plays through, and it helps me to realize in his eyes, I am special, and I have what I need to be able to be involved in our relationship. The second thing, the second little group of words, and there are four here, so we would be up to seven words here, but it's, what's your opinion? What's your opinion? What do you
what
think?
What is your opinion?
What is four. Your opinion? Mm-hmm. Yeah. How many times are you just shared the fact that this is what we're going to do, or this is how we're going to handle that? I don't necessarily think those are wrong in the end, and I would bow to the fact that ultimately I will let him make the decision. But boy, it's so much easier when he says, well, what do you think about it? What's your input? How do you see it? How do you think it'll play out long term? And so it also shows that he has a respect for me when he's asking, what do I think, rather than just handing down an edict, this is how it's going to be. And I think it's great when you get to be included in a decision rather than just be told this is what's going to happen.
Another two words to give us to get us to nine, this might sound trite, but I don't think it is thank you. You know, we have our, especially in a husband-wife relationship, and Patty and I sort of put these thoughts together thinking of our relationship, but they certainly cross over into other relationships, and certainly this one does too. We just take things for granted. Patty, I don't cook. I putsy around the kitchen. I help her out in the kitchen. But if we're going to have something,
he's a great cleanup man.
If you have something prepared, you wouldn't want me to be preparing it. Well, you say, well, that's really fantastic. Patty is a neatnik. If you've ever heard our marriage seminar, how to get your mate to be like you, so you both be perfect, we talk about this. And Patty irons everything. Patty irons sheets, pillowcases, things like that. Pajamas.
I want to think I'm at the Ritz at home.
And I can still remember putting our boys to bed when they were small and saying, hey, look at your sheets. Look at this clean bed. You know who did this? Wasn't me. Your mom. Have you thanked her? And you can as a husband have your wife, maybe she does the cooking. Here's the meal. And we just take it for granted. Hey, oh, yeah. Wait, it's a lost two words in our society, isn't it? You go to a convenience store, or you go into a store, and you buy something, and I'll be grumbling. They'll say, here's your change, and I'll say, well, thank you. And then I walk out thinking, why did I thank him? He should be thanking me. I could have shopped somewhere else. This is true. And I'm very conscious of this. But when's the last time in your relationship, hey, thanks a lot. Thank you. Thanks for putting that together. Thanks for helping me get ready for this trip. Thanks for this food. Thanks for whatever the case might be. And what we're trying to do is maintain a relationship, and we're doing it sincerely. Not, I don't really feel like saying this, but I think I heard that guy say you got to maintain a relationship, so I'll throw out thank you. No, I'm out of a sincere heart.
And then the last of the 10 words here is the word we. We. This must be reminded that we're doing something together. When a decision needs to be made, it's nice to be included in that decision, but then we are going to make the decision. We are going to decide where we're going to go on vacation. We are going to decide if we're going to eat in or eat out tonight. It's just the fact, and the big stuff too. These are just the little things I'm mentioning, but there are big things that it's just so helpful. When it's a we thing, when we do have a bit of a struggle, it's better that we're pulling together on how we're going to find the result than just he's deciding or I'm deciding or he's going to pout and I'm going to pout. So we need to be able to do the we are involved in this situation.
Let us connect with a personality. Some of you are high D controlling people and you just and they hope they follow along behind you. Or maybe you're the opposite, you're a high S personality, you're indecisive, and you're married to another indecisive person, and now neither one of you can decide what to do. So you drive each other crazy that way. Where do you want to go to dinner? I don't care. Where do you want to go? I'll go where you want to go. Where do you want to go? Is this okay? But you know something? It's all a lot better saying, hey, this is what, something we're going to do. We're going to do that. What do these words do? They help, you know, these words and other words, certainly, can't be heard enough. They can't be heard enough. To do what? To maintain a good relationship. And a marriage relationship the way God intended it. Now, the second thing that you need to do with your car is, besides maintenance, change your oil, rotate your tires, get the car over there, is repairs. A repair is to restore to a sound and healthy state to put back together something that's broken. Repair, you know, when you get your car and you get in your glove compartment, there's a repair manual there. Or you open your trunk or underneath your car, there's a spare tire there. What are those, what's the signals coming from those things? This ain't always going to be like this. It looks good now. Smells good, but that man, when did I give me a manual how to fix something? Well, you know why? You know why. When did I give me a spare tire? Oh, that tire, those four tires you have that look so good? Well, you maintain them, but even then there's no guarantees. Sadly, things go wrong in relationships as well. And as a, remember, a relationship is two sinners. A marriage relationship, well, a marriage relationship is two sinners living under the same roof. And God says, now live happily ever after. Or any relationship with you, ship you have, the thing that motivates most of us is selfishness. So it's difficult. And so sometimes there might need to be some repairs.
And under that repairs, I think about the scripture where God talks about, he doesn't say if the storms come or if a repair is going to be needed. He's basically saying, this is going to happen. Are you going to be ready? And so it's really, I think it's great for us to be aware that it's normal. We are all living on this side of heaven. There's no one perfect here on earth. As great as he is, I can let you know he is not perfect, and neither am I. Neither are our kids, neither are our granddaughters. There's no perfection here. And so there are going to be times in life when it's going to be needed. We're going to have repairs. It's when someone uses the wrong words. It can be that quick, right off the tongue, boom. And I've done something that's not just going to be something to maintain. I need some words that are going to be able to help with in the repair process. It's when one of us loses patience. I'm not always patient. Sometime when I come home, I've had it with people. Sometimes I go into the office in the morning, I say to my assistant, just keep all the problems away from me. Well, I mean, she smiles, and I know that's not going to happen. But at the same time, I don't feel like dealing with this mother who thinks she's got the brightest child in the whole world. Well, yeah, she's a bright child, but she's not the brightest in the whole world. And we have rules at this preschool, you know? So it's just one of those kinds of things. So I am impatient. I do lose my cool. But in any kind of relationship, and I've done it, and we've only been 2 weeks into school, I went back to a mom and said, you know, my initial reaction to what you asked me was really not good, and I make an apology for that. I want to repair our relationship because of my attitude and my words. And occasionally we do, like I said, overreact. And when we do, it's usually because we're selfish. And who's the most important around? Me. I think I am. I know that's not true. But I feel like I am at times, and consequently, I act and react that way. So when things go south, words can help to mend the situation, and solid repairs are needed and aided by the words that we're going to share now.
And we want to share with you 10 words that assist in repairing, again, in groups. And you can imagine what they are. But they're easy to conclude these are the right words, but they're not always easy to utter. So we need certain words to help us maintain everything's going along fine in our relationship. My car is running well. Everything's going along in our relationship. And we need to be certain things to keep it going that way. But then every now and then you do things.
Right.
Or I do things. What did Dennis say? 90%?
90% of things I do wrong.
A problem, and now the car's not running well. Did you hear that noise? What's that funny noise? And so we better get it over to the shop and get that thing fixed. It's bound to happen with a car, bound to happen in a relationship. So here's 10 quick words. The first one was, you could assume, is I was wrong. Now that's easy to say, I was wrong, to say to a group of people that you need to utter these words. It's not always easy to utter them. It's our pride. Freely admitting, I made a mistake. That's not easy. But when a person thinks you have done wrong, you're yearning for them to come to their senses and come to you and say, hey, I want you to know something. I was wrong. Boy, those are great words. The first step to finding God, by the way, the only way you find God is you admit you're wrong. There's two roads. You're on one road. Hey, man, this is a wrong road. That's not easy. That's why most people never get on the right road. Why? They won't admit they're wrong. And their pride will send them to hell. They can't admit they're wrong. And this is not always an easy thing to do, to go to that person where there's a fractured relationship. It is very, very possible some of you sitting here have certain relationships you know are fractured. Maybe you're even conscious of the fact that you were the one who caused that. Well, you want to repair that and step up to the plate and look them in the eye and say, you know something, I was wrong. I was wrong about that. And we battle pride. Pride is, according to the dictionary, an inordinate self-absorption with ourselves. It's all about me. And that won't allow me to look to go to Patty and say, hey Patty, remember yesterday morning? Yeah. Well, the more I thought about that,
I think I was wrong.
No. Not I think I was wrong. I only said it once.
I
only
that.
Say it once. You missed it. No, I was wrong. I was wrong. It's not easy to say. There's three words to think about. What are you showing us? Oh, okay, thank you.
We're good. We'll talk fast.
No, I appreciate that.
I'll stop telling stories. This another two words. He gave you several, and the next two we're going to say is, I'm sorry.
Yeah, there's a difference between I was wrong and I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. I'm sorry that I disagreed with you, even though you were wrong. I didn't have to react like I did, just so that, you know. And that happens. I mean, I am wrong sometime, and he'll kind of let me wallow in my wrongness. God usually gets a hold, not usually, God gets a hold of my heart and gets me straightened out. But to say I'm sorry is once again part of that prideful part of who I am. I don't want to be sorry. I want you to be sorry. If you hadn't done this and this and this, then I wouldn't have to be sorry. Well, come on. Let's grow up. We're not in junior high school anymore. Let's get up with it. And to be sorry is more than admitting you're wrong. It's to have a contrite heart. And in Psalm 34:18 it says, "The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart, and he saves such as have a contrite spirit." So I need to be sincere when I say I'm sorry.
It's showing sorrow and remorse, genuine remorse. For one of my shortcomings. That's what the dictionary says, a contrite heart is. I'm genuinely sorry for what I just did, what I just said. And three words. This is from the person who's receiving those words, I'm sorry and I was wrong. And that is, these are great words to hear the person who knows they've erred, and they hear the other person say, I forgive you. It means to pardon, reprieve, vindicate, be merciful. Be kind to one another. I love this verse, Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Well, what's that like? Just as God in Christ also forgave you. God forgave you. How can you not forgive them? That doesn't make sense. That's what Paul's saying to the people of Ephesus. And that's not easy. C.S. Lewis said this, forgiveness is a beautiful word. Isn't that true? Until you have something to forgive. He had to add that part. That's true, isn't it? Hey, you know, are they wronged you? Great. just tell me, you know, I forgive you, let it go. You know, that's, you know, but I wasn't stung like he was. It's a different word. Until you have something to forgive. You know what Ruth Graham said about that? A happy marriage is a union of two good forgivers. Isn't that true? Yeah.
And it's not just true in your marriage. It's true if your relationship with your neighbor. It's true in any relationship. We have to be willing to be say that we forgive. And then the last two words we're going to put here are love you. Love you. That goes
sincere.
A long way, but it needs to be sincere. Don't just say it to get out of the scrape. Don't just say it to get back in favor. Say it because you have a sincere heart that you really do love this person and respect this person, and you want what God has in that relationship. The sincere use of these 10 words and other words go a long way in repairing relationships. I think you can use the love you, as I was looking at this again this morning, the love you can be used in maintenance too, because I need to hear that. I need to hear that more than just occasionally. I need to hear that sometimes moment by moment, sometimes hour by hour, depending on what we're living through and the circumstances in which we find ourselves. And so I think that love you can flip both sides.
Thanks an awful lot for letting Patty and me kind of talk to each other and you listen in. Let's be very, very, very conscious of our words, to take some words to build people up. And let's take swallow our pride, have a contrite heart, sorrowful heart, because of any damage we have done in a relationship. So it's to maintain the relationship and to repair something that's already fractured. The use of words are extremely important. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for these men and women who were part of the conference and then came to this particular session. I pray as Patty and I have sort of shotgunned some thoughts and ideas here, something may have fallen in the right place. Maybe there's individuals here who need to go to somebody in a relationship and say, I'm sorry. Maybe there's somebody here who needs to go to somebody in a relationship and say, I forgive you, to mend what was broken, to help us in the maintenance of, in the maintaining of relationships and the repairing of relationships, and be very, very careful of the words we use. Help us to use some intentionally. When I see them, I'm going to say such and such, instead of holding back or waiting till they pass away and then eulogizing them. May we speak words into their life to encourage them and build them up. Thank you for this time. In your name, amen. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for being here.